Golf Smarter number 205 for November 17, 2009.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Jennifer Monroe identifies your golf personality.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome, and thanks for downloading the latest episode of the Golf Smarter podcast. Today's show is brought to you by Golf Smarter for members only. Join today and gain complete access to the entire Golf Smarter archives and a new full episode next week. Today, I'm very excited to bring back Jennifer Monroe of GolfMindRx.com. She's been on the show multiple times before, and if you've not heard our conversations in the past, I really hope you enjoy her as much as I do. Now, don't expect golf mechanics. Jennifer's specialty is to provide insights on how to improve your round based on your playing partners. Whether you have a regular group, play strictly for business, or like to meet new people every time out, you've had to experience players that have had an impact on how well you played. Well, according to Jennifer, there are four different types of personalities on the golf course, and when you play with an opposite or a conflicting personality, that is when you'll be distracted the most. If you play golf while conducting business, then this information is critical to identifying your personality and those around you so that you can work smarter and play better. Or just golf smarter, I guess. As a regular listener, you may be aware that I try to keep most of our content evergreen so that you can listen to any episode at any time and it will still have relevance to your next round. But just so you know, this was recorded in early September, just after our Golf Smarter adventure to Prague, so we both made references to recent golf trips. If you need any more proof on how well our content ages on the shelves, if you're a Golf Smarter member or just want to purchase a single episode at a time in our Golfer's Mart at 99 cents each, go back to episode number one with Dr. Joe Perrin of Zen Golf, and you'll see how valid that information is today as when we recorded it in December of 2005. Wow, it's been that long. Welcome back to the Golf Smarter podcast, Jennifer.
Well, thank you, Fred. I've missed you.
Thank you. You should be listening to the show then. I'm there every week.
I'm too busy gathering stories and adventures.
I do listen.
I go back in and listen to four or five at a time. I go in and spend the evening doing that.
That's an overdose of Fred. I can see why you wouldn't do it that often.
Yeah, well, that's people say I need to get a social life, but
are you kidding me? Oh, come on. You just told me we've been talking off the air, obviously, actually for a long time, and I said, "All right, Jennifer, we have to just start recording." But you were telling me you were in a golf group with 200 people.
Yes.
And you were telling me about all these other opportunities that you have where thousands of people get together to play golf.
Yes.
And you live in a community that is around golf. You live in Florida, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And people are telling you to get a life? Are you kidding me?
They're jealous. I'm sure.
I work in a room by myself.
Well, that's a lie. That's a life you need to get. I mean, you need to get out of that room.
Well, you know, and I used to be in radio, which meant what? I worked in a room by myself. I just people think disc jockeys are really interesting people. You know, they're just guys who sit and talk into a tube and think that people are listening to them. It's not that they're not. You know, they talk to themselves and they think someone else is paying attention. It's a very sad thing.
Well, you did get out on a nice golf trip recently.
Yes, we did get to go to Prague, and we had some
the
listeners.
Golf center of the world, right?
It's the center of Europe. Czech Republic is the physical center of Europe. And since the Velvet Revolution, since communism left in the 90s or late 80s, golf has exploded in the Czech Republic. They've built like 80 courses in the last 10 years.
Goodness.
Yeah. And of the three courses that we played, I got to tell you, there were a couple that were world class. They were absolutely phenomenal. And you should go on our Facebook group. We have a Golf Smarter Facebook group, and I posted a bunch of pictures of our group and stuff. And there's this one course, and I'm sure people are tired of hearing about this, but whatever turn you make on this golf course, over there to the, and it's on top of a hillside, this beautiful hillside with valleys on either side of it. And on one valley, there's just these open fields of, you know, it's farmland and beautiful greenery and stuff. And then on the other one is a steep valley. And on the opposite hillside is this enormous castle.
Oh, how fabulous.
And wherever you look, there's this castle. And just peeking over the top, or you're like, and you get a sense of it when you see this village below it. There's a village. It's like you're seeing in all these old movies, these goth, you know, Monty Python. And there's this village. And some of the buildings in this village are 2 and 3 stories tall, and they're dwarfed by this castle.
That's amazing.
It was magnificent. But the best part of this trip were the people. We had great people joining us. And thank goodness we all had this common interest of golf. And my poor wife, who was the only one there who didn't play golf, and she hardly tolerates my golf talk as it is. And so she had a full weekend of people from all over the United States and Europe talking about golf the entire time. And she's like nodding her head. And she goes, you know, I would have shot myself listening to all this, but I'm enjoying it. You people are really fun. So it was the people.
I just went to that World Amateur Golf Tournament that had 3,000 golfers.
Oh, my gosh. Tell me about this.
Well, every night, it's amazing. It's the DuPont World Amateur is what it used to be called. Now the PGA Tour sponsors it. And 3,000 golfers come from around the world. And at night, you play 4 days in a row in your own flight. You play really with the same people every day. And handicaps are very close in those flights. And then if you win your flight, you play in the finals on Friday. So at night, they have the world's largest 19th hole party. And I kid you not, there are 3,000 people in there. And all they're doing is talking about the round they played today. And everybody's listening to them, and nobody minds. Nobody minds hearing your golf story hole by hole. And everybody is sharing, and it's the craziest place in the world. And a non-golfer would probably kill themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they were
is that because people don't care about you? I mean, it's easier just to talk about golf. It's safer.
It's because they're all caught up in golf. They love golf. I mean, they go and they play 4 days. Mm-hmm. Normally, it's 100 million degrees in Myrtle Beach this time of year, but it was a little cooler this time, where they get rained out like we did the first day. They don't care. They just want to play golf and talk about golf. Mm-hmm. And they're every shape and size from all over the world, from every age. Most of them are probably late 30s to 60s and 70s. But they just want to talk about golf. And one of the things I sent you a note about is all that talk about golf, they're not talking about what they did that day. Gosh, they wish they'd remembered to keep their left arm straight, or they wish they'd kept their head down, or they wish they had, you know, you completed their shoulder turn. They're talking about all the wild people they had to play with and what a challenge it was, and how, you know, how they wanted to kill somebody, and, you know, how. And so it goes right back to the thing we always talk about, that people just don't grasp how important the environment around them is when they're playing golf, and who's with them, and how that affects their golf. Because nobody was talking about their technique. They were all talking about the interactions and the things they observed and the things they had to put up with. And it was funny. I mean, they're very funny, you know, but it's very exasperating if you're winning a tournament and then you end up losing a tournament because somebody, you know, continues to, you know, not put the pin back in, or continues to jingle their change in your backswing and things like that.
Well, you know, you've been on, for those who are new to the show, you've been on the show a number of times, and we talk about playing personalities, right? Mm-hmm, we talk about the people and the impact that your playing partners have on your round. It's so often that we talk about all the conditions that are working against you in a golf course.
Yes.
From the weather to the terrain, to the conditions of the course, to your clubs, to the way you're feeling that day, all these things. But you contend that so much more has to do with the people you're playing with, and that if you can learn about or understand the different types of personalities, you can take advantage of the situation.
Well, yes, it's easier The other way of looking at it is that if you can understand your own personality and understand why certain things bother you that don't bother other people, you can create ways to counteract that. So you can master and control your own responses on the golf course. And I want to tell you one story that I think is so funny. This man was a challenger golfer, and as I've told you before, a challenger golfer is only 10% of the population, but winning's very important to that challenger golfer, and they tend to be generally controlling people in their real life. Mm-hmm. And so his opponent, and of course in the challenger groups, a lot of them are single digit handicaps in this tournament. And so they're watching for the sandbaggers, you know, because they know their handicap's legitimate, but they're not sure about the guys with them because these are all strangers. And so on his first round, he had a guy that supposedly had his handicap but was really playing, you know, much better, and he was getting aggravated. And so his opponent hit a drive way past his drive.
That absolutely happens.
It does happen. Happens more often than they want to admit. But anyway,
it's when the person starts singing Linda Ronstadt songs, right?
The yes, person when he, Blue you know, Bayou.
Exactly,
right?
Blue Bayou, exactly.
Well, the thing of it is, and people, they walk differently when they've hit a drive past you. If you start watching them, you'll see that they just walk differently when they've driven past you. So
a little bit taller.
Yeah, they just little jaunty, you know, very jaunty down the fairway. So he was getting really aggravated. And so on his second shot, he yanked his shot into the water. And this is alligator infested terrain we're in, you know, of course. And so he was so irritated and did not want to have a penalty. So he took off his shoes and socks and he stood in the water up to his knees. Now, you know, alligators could be below that level. I mean, they could really have been like waiting there for him. And he's standing in his knee up to his knees, and he only advanced the ball out of the plugged thing on the bank about 25 yards. But he was determined he was not going to take that penalty shot because he was aggravated at the other guy. And he said later, I knew that was a stupid thing to do. He said, I knew it was stupid when I got in the water, and I knew it was stupid when I was standing in the water and a duck or something came up behind me and scared me to death. He said, but I was bound and determined to hit that ball and not get a penalty.
Wait. This guy went in alligator-infested waters and he was scared by a duck?
Well, it flapped its wings right behind him when he was in his backswing.
Oh, so yeah, he's thinking that all of a sudden an alligator is going to be flapping their wings.
Well, that's why he was a little nervous, I guess.
But yeah, I guess so.
But the point of it is that's what a challenger will do a lot of times. They get so irritated by what they perceive as a loss of control over the game because of something this other guy is doing that they think there's something inherently wrong with it. And they will do amazingly dumb things to overcome it instead of saying, wait a second, what is my objective for this next shot? You know, what do I need to have out of this next shot? It was absolutely brute force was going to take over, and he was going to land that ball out of the water, plugged into the side of the bank on the green, supposedly. So it makes challengers do really super heroic attempts because they want so much to gain control back instead of saying, wait a second, why am I reacting like this? And what is the big deal here? And what do I really need to accomplish? In other words, they need to get back focused on what does this shot need to do instead of I'm going to show that guy.
Yeah, and I guess that super heroic attempts equate to bad shots and really dumb shots, right? Because that's got to introduce tension into your swing.
Well, of course, especially, you know, standing in this water. And but the other thing is that, you know, they probably make that shot work about 1 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
And so if it worked once, by golly, they want to make it work it again. And they have total confidence and faith they can do it. But, you know, it goes back to the point of what, you know, what determined or what motivated him in the first place, as opposed to what did he want to accomplish on the shot and what would be the best strategy for getting the match back under control versus, you know, just sheer response, you know, just total reacting instead of focusing on what the goal should have been.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny, you know, but that's what makes golf fun.
Is the stories that when you leave.
Oh, yeah. No, it's funny. And you know, and one of the guys, they go into the big rules place at night and they complain about each other. And they complain about so-and-so jingled his change before every one of my putts and I want you to make him stop it, you know.
Well, why not just ask the person to stop?
Well, because different personalities confront things different ways. And, you know, like the traditional golfer we've talked about is very pleasant, congenial, and amiable and just wants peace and harmony when they play and they want to have plenty of time. And, of course, they always get paired up with people who want to play fast and are anything but harmonious.
Well, of course, you're reminding me of a story that happened to me recently of I was invited to go out on an early Sunday morning with some friends to, you know, they're private members. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to. You know, I don't generally play early in the morning that much anymore. But it's like a Sunday morning. Yeah, okay, I'll go out. So I thought I was playing with these two guys, but there was a fourth that I didn't know was coming. And I know this guy who's the fourth. But this guy, he dictates the mood. He's a big personality. And he, how can I be kind about this? He plays very fast, and he wants everyone else to play very fast as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, come on, let's go. Come on, come on, come on, let's go. Come on, we got to get going. There's other people behind us. There's people in front of us. Let's go. It's like, relax, man. God. and it completely threw off my rhythm, and it wasn't until about the 10th or 11th hole that I got into any rhythm at all. I was just completely thrown. I didn't know he was, you know, even on the very first tee, and luckily I've known this guy for a long time, on the very first tee, I'm standing behind my ball, I'm looking at my shot, I'm preparing myself in my thought box before I step into the shot box, and he's like, come on, let's go. And I said, shut the F up, man. and he was like, what? He's just, would you just be quiet? Are we going to do this the whole, am I going to have to say this every single hole?
Well, good for you for saying something, because most people don't say anything until they get to the end. You know, I have this friend, I'm not going to tell you her name because she'd
Please.
Be embarrassed. She's a
listener too, I'm sure.
She will be. I'm sure when she hears about this. But she has a roster of 200 of us women who play golf in this group. And we really believe she has an Excel spreadsheet on all of us. She
With
says
what?
She doesn't. Well, we think the spreadsheet tells her who can play together and who can't. And so when she
You're
hears
kidding.
The stories at the end of a weekend when we've been playing, she has a certain list of people who she only puts with people who don't know them yet. she don't put them with new people because she doesn't want the new people to not come back. but she has a list of people. And I, unfortunately, am on the list of people that she often puts these with because she knows I probably will tell them, you know, how to behave better. And so a lot of times I'm thinking, how do I get all of these really ornery people to play with? And then I realized she did it on purpose because she thinks I will give them a charm lesson or something out there. But she has this huge spreadsheet, and if there's 20 of us in a group and she starts putting the pairings together, she'll say, oh, I can't put that one with this one because of what happened in 1978, and I can't put this one with that one because they got in an argument and you know, last month, and I can't put this one with this one. And so she has this, but out of 200 people, that's an amazing job to keep straight.
Yeah. So you think you're convinced that it's not just her memory, but that she's got this all written down.
I think she has notes. No, I think she has notes.
Mental notes.
No, I think she's got a spreadsheet. I do. I do. But of course, whenever we talk about that, everybody laughs because nobody thinks we're talking about them.
No, of course.
Yep.
Of course. Yep. But and what about the people that, you know, it's amazing to me that you said that people will go up to the organizers and say, that person, right? As opposed to confronting the person, they'll tell
yes.
other people
yes.
about the someone who's suspected of breaking the rules or you know, or cheating.
Well, the traditional golfer, which is 50% of the population of all people, plus golfer, it's a bigger population of golfers. The traditional golfer does not like any kind of conflict. Mm-hmm. And they're just mm-hmm. hoping for the best. And so they will really subject themselves to, you know, some very uncomfortable and unpleasant situations because they're just hoping that the person will figure it out and behave better, if they're gracious and kind to them. And they also figure if they say anything, it'll just make it worse. And so so they won't ever hardly confront the person they're with, but they will tell another person very quietly, you know, that was I was very tense, you know, and that was not a pleasant. I'm talking about men too. It's not women. Same amount of men do the same thing. They just say, you know, gosh, that was unpleasant, and I hope I don't have to do that again. But they won't ever say anything about it, mm-hmm. you know, because it's first of all, they don't like to be judgmental, and they don't like to make other people uncomfortable. And they're willing, you know, they're willing to kind of be self-sacrificing in the, you know, belief that there would be some harmony and everybody would get along. But the people who are the most abusive end up playing with them a lot, you know. And so it's a shame because when you hear people that didn't enjoy their golf games, it's usually those kind and respectful of the game kinds of people who end up with the people like you had, you know, telling you how to move and when to move and when you're not moving fast enough. And
well, of course, you know, this guy wants to give me lessons during the round as well.
Well, you know, I've never met anybody really that was that way that didn't think they should give you lessons, even if they were a 92 handicap, they still give you lessons.
It's true.
And so, and you know, and we get these types of golfers, and we get the kind of people who, first of all, want to tell you all the rules that there are.
Mm-hmm. You know, and what type of golfer is this again?
The technical golfer will, of course, tell you the rules. I always tell people when I'm playing with them, don't worry if you're in this tournament, if you don't know what the rules are, don't worry because so-and-so will be glad to tell you every time you confront one. And I'm kind of a pain in the neck to play with sometimes. But,
And this type of person, this technical golfer, God forbid they should be on the course with either if it's a man, with their wife or with one of their children.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes. And the other thing is, And they can be very nice, kind people, but they also, if they see you breaking a rule or they see you loose with the rules, it's so uncomfortable for them that they can't play well. You know, they'll get so distracted watching you and wondering why you don't, you know, why you don't respect the rules that they can't enjoy their own game. And they're also the ones that get, you know, really bound up in all of their pre-shot routine and too many steps, but they're very, very rule conscious, and they really think that they really believe that part of golf is an important part of golf is really mastering and respecting those rules and appreciating the rules. So, like if somebody steps on their line, you know, every time they walk across the green or leave the clubs in their view when they're, you know, or the pin when they're putting and things like that. I mean, they get so caught up sometimes in that kind of minutia, they can't focus on their game.
Yep.
Really affects their game. And of course, we have the poor social golfer who's just wants everybody to have fun everybody, you know, converse with each other, communicate, tell stories, and of course they just want him to shut up, you know,
because so the technical golfer wants the social. This is almost like a Rochambeau type of thing too. You've got, right, the social golfer, the technical golfer, the traditional golfer, and one trumps the other on each.
Well, they all do things inadvertently that distract or throw off the others.
Mm-hmm.
So they play best with people who are like themselves, and they have the hardest time playing with people opposite. So your guy that was, you know, trying to speed you up, the challenger controlling golfer, you know, he's fine when he's playing with others like himself, but they can be unnerving to people who are not like him. So the our opposites are the ones that tend to distract us the most on the golf course. And the biggest thing, you know, we've said before is that pace of play. You have the person who wants to take their time, do their pre-shot routine, set up. If something disturbs and they want to start all over, you know, they want to play at the same pace. They want to approach their ball at an even pace. And then you have the opposite, the urgent person who's moving fast, walking to the ball fast, gets up, hits the ball, and he doesn't want to stand there while somebody else is standing over their ball. And so the number one, you know, I never get tired of saying this, the number one source of any kind of conflict or tension on the golf course is that pace of play, whether it's somebody in front of you or somebody behind you or somebody playing with you. The difference in pace of play is what creates the most discontent, tension, and misunderstanding.
Right. Absolutely agreed. And then, of course, you have a marshal who's coming up and telling you you're now 6.5 minutes behind the group in front. Leave me alone. I don't like marshals. You're discounting the fact that we keep losing balls and we're looking for our balls.
We were invited to a lovely course here recently. My group was, and we were told when we got there that we had to maintain this pace of play, which I appreciate. I like that.
Sure.
Anyway, it was all women, Fred, and there were 3 men ahead of us. They said, oh my gosh, all these women, we can't possibly get behind them. We have to get off in front. So they went off in front of us and they had 2 holes open in front of them the whole day. Mm. And the marshals kept coming up to the women and saying, we want you to pick up your ball and go to the next, just go to the green from here and be ready to go to the next tee. And they kept making the women pick up the balls, although the women couldn't go anywhere because the men were 2 holes behind. Mm. And so, you know, the marshals were just, they didn't want to upset the men. And they just thought if they had all the women on one hole, I guess if they had 6 foursomes of women on one hole, they thought it would move faster. I don't know what it was, but they just really had a hard time dealing with that. And I asked them logically, I said, logically speaking, what do you hope to accomplish by having us all stacked up?
You're saying this to the marshal?
Yes. Uh-huh. I said, I'm just curious, what is it you're hoping to accomplish? Because if you don't move those guys, we're all just going to be standing here congregating. You know, so
they
were afraid of the men. They were afraid to go tell the men.
Do you find a lot of, I don't want to use the word racism, but bigotry towards women on golf courses? Just innate bigotry towards women? It's like, oh, well, they're women, so they must be slow and they can't hit the ball far and they... You know, their pace of play is really bad. So do you find that regularly?
Definitely, definitely. And I don't find it in the golf, the pro shop staff or the golf staff. I find it in the rangers.
Mm.
The rangers are, I don't know if they're jealous.
And players.
I don't think even the men players, I don't think they feel that. I know they don't like to be behind women, but most of the time they'll say, you know, gosh, we never saw you again, or they'll compliment you because you are fast. But I think the rangers, and I played over 80 golf courses in Florida last year.
Wow.
And I think that the rangers really do have their heads somewhere else.
Where the sun don't shine.
Yeah, because they really do not like women on their golf courses.
Hmm.
And I'm sure they have some good reasons. Maybe they've been treated badly or spoken to badly, but they really do think if there is a problem, it's got to be the woman's fault.
Absolutely. I agree. Okay, wait, now I want to make sure that we get, before we go, because I love this part, and I just want to, you know, reinforce it to everybody, the types of golfers that we have. We have traditional, we talked about. We have technical.
Yes.
Social.
Mm-hmm. And challenger.
Challenger,
yes. You're a social, Fred.
Thank you. That's why I like to go out. That's why I'm doing these Golf Smarter Adventures. Let's go out and have fun.
You took the profile and you're clearly social, and that means that when you play with negative people or people that are not having fun or have something wrong with everything they see and everything they hear and you know, or mad about things in general, you no matter how well you score, you're not going to have a nice day.
No. I don't know if I'm going to agree with you on that.
Really?
I think that if I'm scoring well, no matter what happens out there, I'm going to be happier. But if I'm having a crappy day on the course. But no, I see myself in a bunch of these different elements.
Yeah?
I see myself in technical. I see myself in tradition. I see myself definitely in the social. Define challenger, because I'm curious. I may not fall into challenger as much. But
well, a challenger is only really happy. In other words, golf is only really fun for them when there is something to be gained. In other words, there's a win, some kind of a win that's important, some kind of a maybe a bet. They need to have a bet or something to win.
Yeah, not me.
And also only when they're playing with competitive people. In other words, they're happiest when they have good competition with them. Or it could be a very challenging golf course. You know, they get bored with the same golf course over and over. So challenger just simply means that they play their best when they have something to achieve, something to win, something to basically prove.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that's mundane or boring or you know, doesn't give them a good run for their money. Challengers also play their best when they fall behind. In other words, say they're playing and they get kind of lethargic because they're four or five strokes up, and then all of a sudden they turn around and they're even. All of a sudden their good golf will really come out again, because that makes them rise to the occasion, because there's some reason, there's some motivation, you know, there's some challenge to it.
Boy, you didn't talk about me at all until that last part. I found recently, and I don't play for money, and I don't, you know, I'm not competing against anybody, maybe the course, but recently I've noticed that if I'm playing with somebody who's keeping score for us and telling me that they're two or three strokes ahead, we get to the back nine, I'm like, I'm going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that I do that recently, and then, you know, I remind them of it.
Of course. Well, the social does have a little competitive. It's got a competitive bent to it too.
Good. Okay.
But the social doesn't have to bet. They don't have to have.
That's me. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't find betting entertaining.
Well, the challenger wants to bet something, you know, and if they're down a couple, they want to do double or nothing. I mean, they have to have some real, I would say, skin in the game to like it.
I was working with somebody, the audience told, I was working with a club maker, and he had me fill out this very long survey before we started working together on getting me fitted for clubs, because he wanted to know about you. And so he had like 110 questions on this survey. And one
oh
of the questions, yeah, it was incredible. And one of the questions is, do you bet when you play golf? Do you gamble? And I'm like, no. And I just kept moving on. And so he's now whipping through these questions. He's running through his computer looking. And you hear the brakes. I mean, you hear the computer skid to a stop when he comes up to this answer. He goes, you don't bet when you're playing golf? And I went, no. I'd rather not. I don't like to. And he went, then what's the point of playing golf? That's what golf is. Golf is a betting game. It's like, not for me.
That's a challenge. That's a challenger.
Yes.
You threw me off with him because I thought, why would a challenger have 100-something questions? Because they usually have one or two, and that's it. You know, they're very succinct and to the point. But if he has that mindset, he definitely is a challenger.
Yeah, unbelievable. Fabulous. Traditional, technical, social, and challenger. I'm sure that any round of golf you can pick. You can use that to your advantage and on how you play your day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And all this stuff is so interesting because it's going to help you with your focus. It's going to keep you away from distractions. If you understand these things.
Absolutely. It tells you, you know, one of my best friends is a technical golfer, and he has an incredible invention, and I'd love to introduce him to you sometime. One of the best things I've ever seen that helps your golf game immediately. And actually, he's got a couple out in California, Fred, so I need to set you up with that.
Sure.
But he's a technical, and he's a genius, and he loves golf. He's passionate about golf. But knowing that he's a technical, he knows how easy it is for him to get paralyzed over the ball by analysis of his pre-shot routine.
Uh-huh.
And so we have a regular session where I kind of spend a little time with him. He helps me with my my balance part of my golf swing, and I help him with the with his mind, you know, with his mental part. And we talk about. I always have to get a little checklist on how many things are on his pre-shot routine list. If it goes more than three, we have to cut them all out again and start all over. Because as he's talking to pros, he deals with pros all the time. He's watching videos. He's looking at all kinds of things. Technicals read and devour everything they can on the technical aspects of the golf swing. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, after 30 days or so, he can have 20 or 30 things he's trying to remember before he pulls that club head back. So we have to go in and kind of do a, where you clean up the disc. You have to defrag the disc and get all that stuff off and go back and put the three most important things for him to do before his swing, because he is so technical. But he knows that. And so he knows that when somebody is doing things that are going to irritate him, they're breaking the rules, they're loose with the rules, he gets out of the cart and he walks away from them. He disengages from them. So he has techniques he can adapt that, knowing he's a technical, knowing the kinds of things most likely to bother him, he has responses that he can take to solve that issue so it doesn't ruin his round.
Interesting. And that's a good thing that he disengages like that.
Yes, he has to, because it would drive him crazy watching them or listening to them. And especially if somebody is rude to other people, that just unnerves him. So he'll just get out and go and disengage and go spend his time by himself on the other side of the fairway.
I got to believe he walks the courses a lot versus driving in carts.
Yep, absolutely. Prefers to do it. You know, sometimes they don't let you down here, but he prefers to do that. So he can simulate that, even if they don't allow you to walk. He can simulate it by walking as much as possible.
Wait a minute. There are courses in Florida, flat Florida, that they don't let you walk?
No, they don't, because a lot of them, it's really a matter of, crowd control. They just want things to move faster, and they feel that, you know, the carts move you faster, but I think there's a lot of studies that prove that's not true.
Right. I was just going to say, does every player get their own cart? Because if you put two people in a golf cart, that's going to slow things down because they're going to different sides of the fairway trying to get their ball. Especially if, like, sorry, cart path only. So you got to walk back and forth. Oh, man. I love walking.
We do have a lot of cart path only with all the rain lately. But one of the most fun things to do is to start watching two people driving in the cart together. Because you can pretty much figure out which profile they have by watching how they handle being in the cart together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the challenger always wants to drive.
Okay.
And so if you want to unnerve, you know, you want to aggravate a challenger, if you get to the golf course, you get there early and you go put your bags on the driver's side.
Hmm.
And then see what they do.
See, now that's interesting. I like to drive too.
They'll say, are you sure you want to drive? Would you like me to drive? You know what? If you don't mind, I would prefer to drive. Or they'll just go, the one you played golf with recently, he'll just go move your bag.
Yeah. I'm just going to drive today because I know where the ball's going. Well, it's so interesting because based on emails that I received and comments on the show, I can tell who are the different personality characteristics.
I bet.
Because there's people like, you don't do enough shows about equipment. And, you know, I love the shows you do when you talk to people just who have stories. And I love, and it's like, no, I need more swing mechanics. It's like, oh, my God, these are traditional, technical, social challenger.
Exactly. And, of course, you know, you
and they're
you do
seeking
have...
out all this content. They find podcasts and they find Golf Smarter and they want, you know, they have expectations of what they're going to get out of it. Yeah.
Well, and it's important to be attentive to all of them because it's like marketing anything, when they hear what's important to them, they'll listen to everything else too. But if they don't hear what's important to them, they won't listen.
I'll take note of that. That's a good point. Thank you. Well,
okay.
It was so great to have you back on the show once again. Time flies when you and I get on the phone together. It's like, we're really at that long so far? Jennifer Monroe, and do you want to promote some websites that you have or what you're doing?
Well, yes, please. I'd love people to go see golfmindrx.com, like the prescription for your golf mind. And Also, my eaglevision.com. I have a www.eaglevisionteam.com that I'm looking forward to you putting together some outings, Fred, so we can get together and see all of this stuff in action, not just talk about it, but we could put some on video and watch people doing these wonderful things out there on the golf course.
Oh, that's a good idea. Well, you should check out some of the videos we do, because I like to talk to people on the golf course. And you'll see what our conversations are about. Actually, take a peek. Go to our Golf Smarter TV section of golfsmarter.com and look at some of the video we did from our Edgewood Tahoe. And there's some interesting interactions between me and different golfers there. And by this point, hopefully the video from our Prague trip will be on Golf Smarter TV as well.
Well, I want you to come to Florida.
Okay.
You have an invitation. I'll fix up a fabulous trip for you.
Okay. I like it. I'm sure that we can get some of the snowbirds come from the Midwest and the Northeast to leave the snow and come down to Florida and play golf together.
The car carriers are coming in as we speak. They're on their way back.
All right, Jennifer, thanks so much for being on Golf Smarter again.
Thanks, Fred. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Jennifer. She's a special person, and clearly I really like speaking with her. We have a lot of fun. Today's episode is brought to you by Golf Smarter for members only. As a member of our community, you can take advantage of getting a new full episode every week. Now, today's show is a free program that comes out every other week. And if you're not a member yet, next week you'll get a small highlight or preview of what our guest has to share. But you can only hear the full episode once you become a member. Right now we're offering a free membership that we're going to give away in a few weeks. Go to golfsmarter.com and click on Enter Contest to register to win a Golf Smarter membership. Deadline for entries is November 27, 2009. Now, part of your membership provides you with great discounts at our Golfers Mart. You only have till December 31 to take advantage of our special deal on the Tour Tempo Micro Player Training Aid. It was John Novosel who joined us a couple weeks back and provided us with a lesson on the missing fundamental, and that's swing tempo. He has studied so many golfers and has come up with a science to figure out what the exact right tempo for every player should be. And that is something that most teachers do not include in their fundamentals. Now, if you want to spend the winter grooving your swing, make sure you get the Tour Tempo Micro Player. As a Golf Smarter member, you're only going to pay $69.95 plus shipping for this $100 unit. Make sure you use the coupon code TTMP001. Regular price, as I said, is $100, and even if you're a non-member, you can get one for $84.95 plus shipping. The deal won't last much longer, so take advantage of it today at the Golfers Mart at golfsmarter.com. If you have an iPhone or a BlackBerry or a Palm Pre that you're listening to, most people, when I started doing this show, were just listening on an iPod. That's not the case anymore. Now you can stream each new episode of Golf Smarter right on your mobile phone if you have Stitcher Radio. It's a free app, and it's definitely worth a download if you enjoy content on demand. And hopefully you do subscribe to Golf Smarter Podcast via iTunes. That is, if you are listening, of course, on an iPod, which many people still have. And you should, because they're phenomenal. Anyway, go ahead and subscribe to us. And while you're in iTunes, do me a favor. Please write an honest review of the Golf Smarter podcast so that other golfers who are discovering podcasts can see what you think. Thank you. We close today with a quote from Jimmy Roberts' book, Breaking the Slump. It was Ben Crenshaw who had to remind himself and wants to remind us that when you're in the depths of a slump and you're looking everywhere for help, just remember, quote, as for the swing, it has to be yours. We invite you to participate in the discussions at Golf Smarter on Facebook, but if you have any questions, quotes, or comments, I'd love to hear from you. Just click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.